Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 beginner lesson, where we're going to build a drifting jungle pad using an automation first workflow. Now, if that sounds fancy, don't worry. The core idea is actually really simple. Instead of trying to make one perfect static pad sound, we're going to make a pad that changes over time. It breathes, it moves, it feels alive behind the drums and bass, which is exactly the kind of atmosphere that works so well in jungle, rollers, darker halftime, and neuro-influenced drum and bass. In this lesson, think of the pad as a mood layer, not the main event. The breakbeat is still the star. The sub is still the foundation. The pad is there to create tension, glue the section together, and give the track that hazy emotional wash without crowding the low end. So let's build it. First, create a new MIDI track and load a simple stock instrument like analog or wavetable. If you're a beginner, analog is a great choice because it gets warm pretty quickly and it's easy to understand. Start with a basic patch using two oscillators. A saw wave works great for that classic rich pad tone, but a triangle wave can also be nice if you want something a little smoother and less bright. Keep the sound fairly dull at the start. That's important. A lot of beginners make the mistake of opening everything up right away, but in drum and bass, especially with atmospheric pads, you usually want the movement to come from automation, not from a sound that's already doing too much. So set oscillator 1 as your main tone, bring in oscillator 2 slightly detuned, and close the filter down fairly low. You want a soft, cloudy starting point. A cutoff somewhere around the low hundreds is a good place to begin, depending on the patch. Keep the resonance modest. We're not trying to make a whistle or a synth lead here. We're making a bit of atmosphere. Now write a simple MIDI part. Keep it beginner friendly. You can use a minor chord, a root and minor third, or even just a root and fifth if you want something more stripped back. Long-held notes are the move here. Think 2 bars, 4 bars, maybe even an 8-bar phrase if you want the harmony to feel really spacious. And here's a big drum and bass tip. Less harmony is often better. The drums are busy. The bass is usually active. The pad doesn't need to chase them. It just needs to hold emotional space and support the groove. Now that we have the basic sound and notes, let's introduce movement. If you're using wavetable, you can add some unison voices and a small amount of detune to widen the sound. If you're in analog, you can get similar feeling by slightly detuning one oscillator, then adding width later with effects. The goal is a wide, soft stereo feel, but not so wide that the center of the mix gets messy. A great basic effects chain here would be instrument, then auto filter, then chorus ensemble, then reverb, then EQ8. You can also add saturation later if you want a little extra density. But first, we're going to focus on the movement. Add auto filter right after the instrument. This is where the automation first workflow really comes alive. Set it to a low pass filter and keep the cutoff relatively closed at the start. Then, instead of changing the MIDI notes a ton, automate the cutoff over time. Open it slowly over 8 bars, then maybe pull it back again before the next phrase. That's the drift. That's the motion. This is what makes the pad feel like it's evolving with the arrangement rather than just sitting there. And when you automate, do it with intention. Don't just draw curves for the sake of movement. Think about the feeling of each section. Is this part tense? Is it opening up? Is it ghostly? Is it washed out before the drop? Let that emotional idea guide the automation. You can also add some slow modulation to make the pad feel less static. If your instrument has LFO control, assign a very slow LFO to the filter cutoff, wavetable position, or even pan. Keep it subtle. In drum and bass, too much wobble can make the pad feel cheesy or too obvious. We want atmospheric drift, not an effect that steals attention. A slow movement over 1 to 4 bars is perfect. Even better, think in layers of movement. One slow filter opening over 8 bars, plus a very gentle stereo drift over 16 bars, can make the pad feel much more organic. Next up, let's add reverb. Reverb is a huge part of this sound, but it has to be controlled. You want the pad to bloom into the space, not drown the mix. Drop in a reverb after the filter or near the end of the chain. Give it a fairly large space, a moderate to long decay, and a small pre-delay so the pad stays clear enough to feel defined. Then high-pass the reverb so the low end doesn't get muddy. Now automate the reverb a bit. For example, increase the wet amount slightly before a transition, or lengthen the decay at the end of an 8-bar phrase. Then, when the drop lands, pull it back so the drums and bass hit clean. That contrast is huge in drum and bass. A pad that blooms before the drop and ducks out of the way right on the downbeat can make the whole section feel bigger. Now let's clean up the low end. Add EQ8 and high pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. The exact number depends on the sound, but the main idea is to protect the sub lane. Your sub bass owns that space. The kick needs punch, the break needs clarity. The pad should live above that. If the pad feels boxy, cut a little around the low mids. If it feels sharp or harsh, soften the upper mids a bit. Again, this is all about making the pad support the groove instead of fighting it. If you want more texture, you can add a very gentle saturation effect. Something like saturator or dynamic tube with a small amount of drive can thicken the harmonics and help the reverb smear in a more musical way. Just keep it subtle. We're not trying to distort the pad into something aggressive. At this point, your pad should already sound good on its own. But now comes the really important test. Put it in context with your drums and bass. Always check how the pad behaves with the kick, snare, break, and sub all playing together. A pad can sound amazing solo and still wreck the mix. So listen carefully. Is the sub still clear? Does the snare still punch through? Is the pad too bright when the hats come in? Is it crowding the center of the stereo field? If it is, pull it back. Reduce the volume. Narrow the low mids. Lower the filter cutoff. Or automate the pad down during busier drum bars. In drum and bass, clarity is part of the vibe. A deep atmosphere should feel expensive and immersive, not muddy and in the way. Now, one really useful beginner trick is to use clip envelopes. If you're still exploring the sound, it can be faster to draw automation inside the MIDI clip instead of building a full arrangement automation pass right away. That's a great way to sketch movement quickly and hear the results immediately. Once the pad is moving nicely, consider resampling it. Route the pad to an audio track, record a few bars, and capture the evolving sound. This gives you a few powerful options. You can chop the best moments, reverse tails into transitions, layer the audio with the original MIDI pad, or freeze a specific movement that felt especially good. That reverse tail move is especially effective in jungle. You can grab the end of the pad, reverse it, and place it before a fill or a break switch. Suddenly the transition feels much more intentional and musical. Now let's think like an arranger. Across the track, the pad should perform. It shouldn't stay exactly the same for the whole tune. In the intro, keep it filtered and narrow. In the next section, open it up a little. Add more reverb, maybe widen it more. Then when the drop hits, tighten it again so the drums and bass can take over. In the breakdown, let it bloom wide and emotional. That ebb and flow is what makes the arrangement feel alive. A really effective jungle or roller's move is to let the pad react to the breakbeat. If the break gets busier, slightly tame the pad's brightness or level. If the drums open up, let the pad swell a bit more. Think of the pad as a supporting actor that knows when to step forward and when to step back. If you want to go one step further, try splitting the pad into two layers. Make one version dark and narrow and another version airy and wide. Then automate them differently. The darker layer can hold the center and keep the mood grounded, while the wider layer blooms at transitions. That creates a much richer atmosphere without making the mix feel overloaded. Another great variation is the pre-drop inhale. In the last one or two bars before the drop, automate the pad to get brighter and wetter, then cut it sharply on the first drum hit. That contrast can make the drop feel massive. And don't forget the mono check. Flip the mix to mono occasionally. If the pad disappears completely, it may be too dependent on width effects. That can be risky on club systems. You want the atmosphere to survive the mono sum as much as possible. So let's quickly recap the workflow. Start with a simple synth patch. Keep the harmony basic. Use filter automation as your main source of movement. Add subtle drift with modulation. Control reverb and width so the pad feels huge but not messy. High pass it to protect the low end. And most importantly, make sure it works with the drums and bass, not just by itself. For your practice exercise, spend 10 to 20 minutes making a drifting pad for a dark 174 BPM tune. Load analog or wavetable. Create one simple minor chord or two-note drone. Add auto filter, chorus ensemble, reverb, and EQ8. High pass around 150 to 200 Hz. Automate the filter cutoff across 8 bars. Then automate the reverb so it grows in the second half of the phrase. Record or resample a short pass. Listen with a drum break and sub loop, and make one change to help it support the groove better. If you do that, you'll end up with more than just a pad. You'll have a living atmosphere that moves with your track, sets the tone, and adds that deep jungle energy without getting in the way. That's the goal here. Not a static chord, but a drifting, breathing pad that feels ready for intros, breakdowns, and transitions. And once you get this working, you're going to start hearing how powerful simple automation can be in drum and bass. Tiny changes. Big vibe.